This is a reading of the early lectures of Rudolf Steiner entitled The Christian Mystery. Lecture 6.3 is entitled The Sermon on the Mount, given January 19, 1907 in Stuttgart. The Sermon on the Mount is a very significant revelation of Christianity. Usually it is understood as a sermon that Jesus gave on a mountain for the masses of people gathered below. But the expression, quote, to go up on the mountain, unquote, is code found in all esoteric languages and is ancient. Quote, to love, unquote, is also an esoteric coded designation. We find the words, quote, the disciple whom the Lord loved, unquote, and at the resurrection of Lazarus, quote, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, unquote, John 11:5. We also read, quote, see how he loved him, unquote, John 11:36. We are to understand this term, the disciple whom the Lord loved, as always referring to the author of John's Gospel. But his name is not to be found anywhere in John's Gospel, not even at the crucifixion. There we read, quote, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, unquote, John 19:26. These words, to love, have a deep meaning. The Master's disciple who has been introduced into the deepest esoteric secrets is called the disciple whom the Lord loved. To go up on the mountain means to enter into the deepest mysteries and to learn a content that the disciples then pass on to the masses. The words of the Bible are not read properly. One reads past the words. The first verse of the fifth chapter of Matthew properly translated means, quote, when he saw the crowds, he went away, up onto a mountain, and sat down, and his disciples came to him, unquote. Therefore, Jesus went away from the crowds of people and spoke only to his disciples. Jesus had to constantly speak two languages. He spoke in parables when he spoke popularly to the people, but he explained the esoteric meaning of the words to his disciples when he was with them, quote, on the mountain, unquote. The third verse of Matthew, the fifth chapter, reads, quote, blessed are those who are beggars for spirit, for they will find in themselves the kingdom of God, unquote. The words, even the individual letters, have a deep secret meaning. The initials of the German word ich, for I, are also the initials of Jesus Christ, I-C-H. Footnote, the Latin alphabet does not contain the letter J. When first created, the German alphabet adopted the Latin spelling for Jesus, or Iusus, I-U-S-U-S, which was retained for many centuries. End of footnote. The great initiates guided the formation of the word ich, so that I-C-H, Jesus Christus, resulted. Only one people could find the birth of the name of Jesus Christ out of the I, or Ich. Thus Christian mysticism arose in Germany. There are more such words, having a deep literal meaning. For example, heilig, holy, means well-being or healthy to the core. Selig sein, to be blessed, means to be full of soul, to find the soul's substance in oneself. Blessed are those who are driven to lead their souls more and more to the Spirit. Although many may say that we should look into our own selves and then we will find God, still it is not true. For if we look only into ourselves, we will find only what happens to be in us. We should watch over our striving. Our individuality should go out beyond itself, which means know thyself. The authority of human beings should not give us conviction, but stimulation. The fourth verse is, quote, blessed are those who take suffering upon themselves, for they themselves will find comfort through their own actions, unquote. Suffering poses one of the world's greatest riddles. Even the ancient Greeks, that free and happy race that clung to earthly existence and breathed the air of sensual pleasure, allowed Silenus to answer the question, quote, what is the greatest good for the human being? By saying, quote, wretched ephemeral race, the best thing for you is entirely unattainable, not to have been born, not to be, to be nothing, but the next best for you is to die soon, unquote. Footnote, compare Friedrich Nietzsche, The Birth of Tragedy and the Genealogy of Morals. End footnote. Meanwhile, Aesop says that teaching can be won from suffering. Job endures all the suffering laid upon him and arrives at the conclusion that suffering purifies and elevates the human being. Why, after listening to a tragedy, do we leave a theatre satisfied. The hero conquers suffering. There is a connection between pain that is carried and the ascent of the human being. Suffering and pain of the soul speak through the physiognomy to those who know. Human beings must create an organ so that they can bear pain. Just as the eye was created by light and the ear by sound, so too pain and suffering create spiritual organs. Within themselves, human beings carry the solace of the knowledge that they can bear suffering. We are developed to a higher state through suffering. In verse 5 we read, quote, "Blessed are the gentle in spirit, for they will own the earth." Unquote. Two forces are active in the world. On the one hand, egotism, and on the other, love and compassion. If love is to be developed, egotism must diminish. Sensual love must be developed to a higher spiritual love. The third sentence of Mabel Collins's book Light on the Path speaks about the same thing that is meant by, quote, "gentle in spirit," unquote. Quote, "Before the voice can speak in the presence of the masters, it must have lost the power to wound," unquote. Footnote, Mabel Collins, Light on the Path, Theosophical Publishing House, Wheaton, Illinois, 1970. End of footnote. One should encounter all people with a loving disposition so that the voice no longer wounds. In this way we are gentle, in the way spoken of in the Sermon on the Mount. Love is the goal of the evolution of the earth. It will own the earth. Verse 6 says, quote, "Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, for they will be satisfied through their own activity," unquote. Christ here tells the disciples the entire meaning of the deeper inner forces in the human soul. Give love to others, and do not strive after love yourself. If everyone does this, love will become universal. And verse 7, quote, "Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will achieve mercy through their own activity," unquote. We should feel our way into every individual human being. Then the mercy given and shown to others will ray forth from others to us. We come to verse 8, quote, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God through themselves," unquote. This sentence is an instruction in mysticism. We should purify and make our hearts pure. The eye, here, intended for the vision of God, is the heart. It, not the brain, is the organ of the future. In terms of seeing God, it is what a clear eye is for the light. Verse 9 says, quote, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become children of God through their own activity," unquote. The soul follows a path from God through humanity back to God. The souls were once peace-loving, and peace leads again to the divine being. The 10th verse, quote, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is for them," unquote. Jesus Christ demanded that human beings require righteousness of themselves, that their thirst will be quenched through righteousness. An earthly demand and a heavenly demand are always distinguished. In verse 11, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute and speak all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account," unquote. Christianity must not be confused with other religions. In Buddhism, everything depends on following all that Buddha taught. It is the same with Hermes in Egypt, Zoroaster in Persia, and so on. However, Christ was present himself. The disciples were called on to bear witness. We heard him ourselves. We have placed our fingers in the wound of the nails. John the Evangelist speaks mostly of Jesus Christ in his gospel. Christianity must believe in Christ Jesus himself, not only in the teaching concerning him. The Logos came down to human beings having an eye consciousness. The Word became flesh in a man and really lived among us. All are blessed in faith in the only one in whom the Logos itself is incarnated. There is only one who can say, quote, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake," unquote. In verse 12 we are told, "Rejoice and be glad and full of comfort, for your reward is great in heaven, so the prophets were also persecuted," unquote. The human beings with eye conscious, inspired by God, are meant here. Verse 13 reads, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt signifies that which gives wisdom to the earth. Now, one could point out the conclusion of Matthew 7, verses 28 through 29, quote, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he preached to them mightily, and not as one of the scribes." Unquote. One could easily think that Jesus really did speak to the crowds. However, these verses are not in any way connected with the Sermon on the Mount. They even contrast sharply with what had meanwhile caused an uproar in the masses. The people were very upset over a speech of Jesus, but over an entirely different one than the Sermon on the Mount. Concerning that one, a great tumult arose. We must go over all the events in the Bible very exactly and know how to read the words correctly. Then a new understanding will arise for what one had formerly overlooked. End of the lecture. Answers to questions after the lecture. Question: what can be said about the two robbers who were crucified with Jesus? Above all, answer, above all, we must remember that symbolic meaning does not exclude factual reality. Some people want to explain everything merely literally. They see Jesus as a man who actually lived and cannot believe there is a deeper meaning behind everything. Others, on the other hand, want to explain everything in terms of esoteric secrets and are unable to believe in the historical events. But the symbol is really historical fact. The fact of Christianity can be grasped at all only when it is regarded as a real fact. It is the secret of human evolution. Christ between the two criminals, one who feels remorse and the other who remains hardened and impenitent. Again, this is the balance between love and egotism. Love is founded on blood ties, and self-seeking egotism wants to separate them. Christ wants to balance and compensate them. That is the significance of the three crosses. One is the principle of the good, and the other is the principle of evil. Quote, "Truly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise," unquote, Luke 23:43. Paradise is a coded word that means, quote, "you will be with me in a place that is above the ordinary every day," unquote. Before the human being was burdened with guilt, he lived in the womb of God. How do we acquire the right to become a child of God again? By becoming peaceful. How do we depart further from paradise? Through egotistical self-seeking. End of answer. Question: do other peoples also have the initials I-C-H in their word for I? Answer: that is only true in the German language. The German Ich gives power to the soul. The fact that these initials spell the name of Christ should give life to the word for us. Christ is present at all times, and he works through all languages. The further we go toward the east, the richer the languages become, and the further we go toward the west, the poorer. For this reason, America is the poorest. It has the smallest vocabulary in its language. The prayers of ancient languages lose their old power when they are translated into newer languages. The Latin words to the Pater Noster, the Lord's Prayer, contain much more power than the German version. The language of the ancient Lord's Prayer is Aramaic. One who spoke it in the Aramaic language could feel the magical power. By properly taking hold of all the elements of language, we must again bring the power of words into the language. The four sentences of light on the path, for example, do not have the same power in English as in German. These four sentences sound more beautiful in German than in any other language. It has the most beautiful translation of these four sentences. End of answer. Rudolf Steiner's answer to an unrecorded question. Earlier researchers looked up to the Bible with the greatest respect. Pastor X said that Moses knew just as much as a modern scientist, or else he was inspired. Pastor X explained the Bible altogether in a brilliant and subtle way. When Bible criticism began, respect and devotion were lost. But nothing new will ever grow out of criticism of the Bible. One thing is characteristic of spiritual science, and this one thing is its attitude. Every thought is permeated by this attitude. What is this attitude? We have an attitude toward nature, too, but we do not criticize nature. Spiritual science wants to understand and follow everything in life, and in the life of the spirit, in an unbiased way. It does not want to apply the standard of sympathy or antipathy, but rather to understand everything in human life and in the spiritual world in an unprejudiced way. Spiritual science is concerned with understanding. One must acquire an attitude in the life of the spirit, as in research in nature. Then one can have experiences. The Bible should become a book before which criticism is silent. If we read the Bible properly, without bias, we can experience the expression of something we never dreamt of. we then find deep wisdom, whereas previously we had placed obstacles in our own path. The key to reading the Bible properly must be found through spiritual research. Then a deep and profound exegesis will take the place of Bible criticism. Natural science is concerned only with material appearances and ignores the fact that standing behind them as their foundation is a spiritual development. The task of spiritual science is to research the essence of the human being and the development of the human being in the cosmos. Where the wisdom of natural science comes to an end, spiritual science enters. For natural scientists see only the external. They want to fathom atoms. But precisely what the natural scientist cannot explain is present. Even the science of Haeckel is truth for spiritual researchers, inasmuch as it describes external reality. The spiritual researcher wants to look with higher, spiritual eyes back at the delicate way in which things evolved, and wants to research the spiritual facts accompanying the external facts. If we observe things with spiritual eyes and ears, we perceive the supersensible aspects of the human being. We can perceive only as much of the external physical world as we have physical organs of perception. Those who would object and say, quote, only what I see physically exists, has not yet developed any spiritual powers. As often as we acquire a new organ of perception, we also perceive a new world. Eyes and ears of soul can be acquired. A human being who has enough energy and patience can become an initiate. What an initiate sees with spiritual eyes must be expressed in pictures taken from the physical world. This is what Goethe, who was an initiate, meant when he said, quote, all things transitory are only a likeness, unquote. Expressing great spiritual truths in appropriate images or likenesses is called imaginative knowledge. You see, spiritual science does not seek to lead away from matter, but rather in matter it sees condensed, solidified spirit, which is related to matter as ice is to water. The creation of the world in 7 days is a metaphor to express great spiritual facts. Those who have the key to reading the Bible can always take the Bible literally. There is no document that contains the truths of theosophy better than the Bible. Spiritual science strives to explain the Bible and to provide access to an unbiased understanding of the Bible. We come to understand the division of the work of creation into two parts when we learn to distinguish the human being who is without sex, that is, the spiritual, astral human being. Then a reversal took place. The non-sexual, spiritual human being becomes the physical, bisexual human being. That is why a double creation had to be described. One often hears the saying, quote, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life, unquote, whereby everyone thinks of their own spirits. Goethe says, quote, and as long as you do not have this die and become, you are nothing more than a dull guest on the dark earth, unquote. This does not mean killing the physical body, but giving birth to a new human being out of yourself, so that you are given a tool for the spiritual world. It should be a tool of strength. We must also say, quote, die and become, unquote, to the letters. In spiritual science, everything is valuable. Even the smallest thing is an expression of condensed spirit. Those who oppose the Bible do not understand it. They oppose their own fantasy of what it is. Many people presume to establish a creed, but it is so small and modest when they are satisfied with the thought that with their science they have advanced so amazingly far. Spiritual science seeks always to penetrate deeper. It seeks to understand with loving care the letters themselves and to open the path of the soul to the divine. The end of lecture 6.3.